Well, the way it looks, we might be able to baptize people just by stepping out from underneath the shelter, right? Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, this is our end of summer picnic and baptism Sunday. We go down to the creek and baptize anybody that wants to after we have fellowship. So I'm going to just teach a little bit on baptism. I could preach it, but then I'd get all excited and I might miss a point. So I'm going to try to teach it. It's hard for me to teach. It really is. But I'm going to. Baptism is more than just a ritual. And Cindy and I both grew up in mainline ritualistic churches. And that's not bad. We got a lot of foundation in those two churches. She was on one side of the Protestant movement, and I was on the other. She was on the Catholic side, which was not the Protestant movement. But I was on the Protestant side. And we were both sprinkled as babies. And then we came to an evangelical church that taught about baptism, and we thought, wow, that makes so much sense. And as the years have gone by and as I've taught on this, I learn more and more and more. It's like the Holy Spirit opens up more every time you dig into His Word, doesn't He? He's amazing. He's just amazing. So baptism is more than just a ritual. You see it. It sets the tones of our relationship with our Father God. It really does. I want us to go to Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' But Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? That's just amazing. I mean, if you look at that and you look at the intensity of everything that's going on there, it takes the ritual right out of it. John the Baptist, it says that no other man, Jesus said, no other man that has ever been born was like John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. He was chosen by God to go before the Messiah and declare that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that he had come. And John the Baptist, think about this. John the Baptist got to baptize God. I mean, wow, I mean, that is just amazing. You just think about all of the different things involved here. You see, before Jesus started his ministry, before any of the miracles happened, before the preaching, before the cross, Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. You see, our faith really, right after our confession of our faith and our walk, our whole relationship of discipleship, it starts with baptism. In the Bible, it starts with baptism because Jesus was the one who showed us the way how to do everything. He was our model. He said, you know, I'm coming first, but everyone else, you need to follow me in the same way. It all starts with baptism. John tried to stop Jesus from being baptized. He said, Lord, you should be baptizing me. I mean, John knew that Jesus was the Son of the living God. He knew that he was the Messiah. And John's like, can you imagine being John? Here comes God up to you and he says, okay, I want you to baptize me. How many times has God come up to you with a request and you're like, well, I don't know God. And he said, no, you're my son. You can do this. And Jesus says to John the Baptist, he says, no, we have to do this. That's what Jesus is saying. We have to do this. It is what my Father wants. That's what he says. My Father wants this. This is how God wants it. It's how the Father God wants it. And John the Baptist then went, oh, okay, if this is how God wants it, because he was a prophet. I mean, if God wanted it a certain way, John the Baptist was going to do it a certain way. And Jesus said, this is how the Father wants it. Jesus sets an example of what we should do and why we should be baptized. The Bible said that John the Baptist baptized people as a sign for the repentance of their sins. Do you know what that means? John the Baptist baptized for sin. People would come to John the Baptist, they would confess their sin, and then John the Baptist would baptize them. And that act, John's baptism, is an act of washing away the sin. Just like you would take a bath to get rid of the dirt. And that's what John the Baptist was doing. He's like, okay, now your sin. And then John the Baptist would say, okay, now go, okay, and live differently. And that's what John's baptism was all about. Well, Jesus didn't have any sin. So why did Jesus do this, okay? You know, Jesus couldn't die for his own sins because he didn't have any sins, right? He was perfect. But all Jesus was saying is he's saying, I want everybody to know that this is how we do it. Everybody needs to come to baptism, first of all, as basically, you know, a realization that your sins have been washed away. That's the first thing that we come to in this baptism. You see, Jesus says, I came to fill all righteousness in Matthew 3:15. He came to show us and to give us the full and complete meaning of baptism, which is this. First of all, like I said, it's death to sin and the old way of life. And then, the wonderful thing about baptism, it shows us this wonderful picture of not only have all of our sins been washed away, but when we're under the water, Jesus says we die to that sin. And we're resurrected. Just like Jesus was resurrected out of the tomb, we're resurrected. We come out of the water. And that's what Jesus was showing us. That's what baptism is all about. It's a place in our life where we say, okay, I've died to the old way of sin, and now I'm alive to the new way of Jesus. And that's what it means. It means when Jesus came out of the water, something incredible happened. Something incredible happened. For the first time in a long time, people heard God's voice audibly. Think about that. Jesus says, okay, John, we've got to do this because this is what my Father wants. And God wanted that so much that when Jesus came up out of the water, okay, he came up out of the water, and it says that a voice from heaven said this, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Father publicly affirmed that Jesus Christ was his Son, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he publicly affirmed this. He said, this is my Son. And then he said, I love him, and I'm proud of him. I'm well pleased. How many of us love hearing the words in some form or another, good job, well done, I love you. Yeah, man, you're my best friend. So you see, you're a part of me. You're a part of my family. How many of us love hearing that? And God said all of those things to Jesus when he came out of the water, and all the people around him heard it. That's what the Bible says. A voice from heaven said. It didn't say, there was thunder in the clouds, and there was muffled, and it was a confused bunch of people. No, it's right here in Matthew. It says, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And I don't know you, but I remember the first time my dad told me he loved me. I do. I was 14 years old. It destroyed me. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Okay? Because my dad, well, let me just give you a picture of my dad, how my dad was raised by my grandpa. At my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, my grandma leans over and she says to my grandpa, Joe, that was his name, Joe, do you love me? And he looks at her and he says, told you I loved you 50 years ago, and if it changes, I'll let you know. That's no way to live. But my dad was raised in that. He didn't know. And so when he told me, when my dad got saved, he came into the house, and we sat down, and he looked at me, and he said, this is what my dad said. He said, my life has been a mess, and because of that, your life has been a mess. I don't know what or how I'm going to change it, but I'm going to try, and I love you. Wow. You know, my dad didn't come in and say, okay, I'm a Christian now, and you better buck up.
because you've screwed up for a long time and I'm sick and tired of you. No, my dad, he owned it. He said, I screwed up and I'm going to try harder. My dad basically did the same thing that we do when we come to Jesus. Hey, Lord, I messed up. I'm going to own it. Forgive me. I want to walk in your love. And you want to know something? When we live that pattern of baptism, because after you're baptized, there's going to be times when you mess up. You're going to have to go back to God and you're going to say, God, please forgive me. Kill that sin. God, I want to be resurrected today just like I was on my day of baptism. And Lord, I want to walk in it. And you want to know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear this in your spirit. God's going to say to you, you are my child. I love you so much. And I'm very pleased that you've come here and that you're staying here with me. Just like God said to Jesus, that's what God says to us. And I remember, and Cindy, we both, when we were immersed in different situations, when we were immersed, I don't know, there was something different. Because I knew from that point on, I could always look back and say, no, I did this. I publicly did this. And I remember that. And I remember it. And I remember that when I mess up, I can go back there, just like our worship songs today. You know, man, we can go to the cross. We can go to Christ. We can go to the river. We can go to so many places with God. And God says, okay, you've confessed. You've repented, which means you're going to try to do it differently. And you're going to move on. And God says, I love you. I'm pleased with you. You're mine. And you're always going to be mine. You see, in baptism, Jesus shows us that we're no longer lifeless, we're no longer lost, we're no longer orphans. Baptism is an act that walks us from one life into another, into a lost, lifeless, orphaned life, into a life full of life. Jesus says, when you come to me, you get life and you get it to the full. And we really do. You see, baptism shows us three things I'm going to tell you real quick. First of all, it shows us that we're cleansed of our sins. Like I said, you know, when we go under there, it's like we're getting cleaned. We're getting a bath. And Titus 3:5, and not just a bath, you know, physically. I mean, fortunately, we have Spearfish Creek, which is relatively clean. You know, my grandma was baptized in the Missouri River down by Kansas City, Missouri. She said, it wasn't too pretty. You had to take a shower when you come out of there. But you know, in Spearfish Creek, I mean, it is, it's almost like getting a bath. But not only do you get a bath, okay, in this physical sense, you get a little bit of crud washed off you, you get a spiritual bath. It cleanses your mind, and you just say, okay, Lord, I want you to clean every part of me, and when I come up, I'm going to be different. We are cleansed of our sins. Titus 3:5 says this, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. When we come and do this, the Holy Spirit's involved. The Holy Spirit's involved. It's just not a Duncan and you're up. The Holy Spirit is involved and he is washing you white from the inside out. The second thing that happens is we're dead to our sins. Romans 6:8, it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death. See what I said? We're dead. We're down there for long enough, you know, that we're almost dead. And it says, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. I told you my grandmother was baptized in Kansas City, Missouri when she was younger. And they used to baptize three times. Yeah, they were this church wanted to make sure that they got you baptized. And it was an interracial church. The pastor at that time was a black pastor. And my grandma says that, you know, the pastor would get you out in the river and he'd say, I baptize you in the name of the Father. And he'd hold you down. He wanted to make sure that, you know, and then you'd come up and she said she remembers this one time they were baptizing this one guy. He was new to the faith. He came in church and had some miraculous stuff happen. Totally, he knew he'd been changed, and he knew he needed to do something about it, and so they went down to the river to baptize, and so the pastor holds him down. This guy did not know anything about, you know, Christianity, in the name of the Father. And, you know, he holds this guy down. The guy comes up. And she says she remembers this guy going, getting air. And the pastor goes, and the Son. And he goes down again, kind of holds him down there a little bit. Comes up, and the guy's like, you know, and the guy in the third time, and the Holy Spirit. And comes up. And the pastor says, okay, brother, go tell everybody that you believe, you know. And because it was kind of, you know, it was a very, very outgoing church. And the guy is coming up, and he walks by my grandma, and he's mumbling, you know. And he says, I believe that fool is trying to kill me. But you see, we do. When we're buried in that grave of water, and that's what it symbolizes, we die to the old life. And for the rest of our life, we can say, look, I know I messed up, but I died to that old life, and I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. And the wonderful thing about baptism is the third thing it gives us is it gives us an understanding of a new life. We come out of the water different. I talked a little bit last week about how the Israelites went through the Jordan River to get to the promised land, okay? And that Jesus was baptized practically in that same spot. We cross over. We cross over from an old life to a new life. We are resurrected. We're literally resurrected. Our spirit is given a new life when we come to Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2:4 it says, but because of his great love for us. That's what I love about baptism. It's not ritual, it's relationship. Everything about it is about God's love. But because of great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved. When we come out of that water by grace, we have been made alive, we have been saved. We have been made new. And I love that. I love that about God. When we baptize, we give a profession of faith. And I ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And do you trust him with your life? And do you give him your heart and your soul and your spirit? And will you receive him and the power of the Holy Spirit into your life from this time forward? And when you say yes, we baptize you and you come out and you're new. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're different. And don't let the enemy tell you any differently. Because he lies. You can always tell when the enemy is lying. His lips move. He is a liar. Anything that he tries to put in your mind about your old self, anything he tries to put in your mind about something negative or something terrible, anything that he tries to destroy you with, it's a lie. Everything about immersion, everything about baptism is about love, life, truth, and a new life. You see, when we come to Jesus, this is our new life. I love John 3:16. Everybody knows this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave us Jesus, the only perfect sacrifice, the only thing that could break that terrible, terrible prison of sin and death. He gave us Jesus. And then I love this promise in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. This morning, as we close this part of the service, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have all of us just go ahead. Maybe it's the first time you've ever done it. I'm going to pray. And I want you, you know, I'm going to pray we're going to pray the prayer of salvation and repentance. If you want to, please, you know, please do that. And then if it's the first time you've done it, tell somebody. And if you're getting baptized later, we're going to do it again, okay? So that it sticks in your mind. So that you know that God has done something incredible here. Let's pray. Would you repeat after me if you so choose? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the living Savior who died for my sins. And I believe that he died for my sins Because God loves me. Jesus loves me. The Holy Spirit loves me. And today I confess that I have sinned. And I ask Jesus to forgive me of these sins. And I proclaim Him as my Lord and Savior. I ask Him to cleanse me, to change me, and to fill me with His Holy Spirit so that I can walk this life new, pure, holy, whole, and powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you're so inclined to be immersed, we'll be doing that this afternoon right after the potluck. Cindy's got more details on that. Oh,
I like that we need that reminder. Sometimes, you know, even as a Christian and we're walking around as a Christian and we're walking around as a baptized Christian, you know, we still do things. We make choices that were not good choices. We sin. We do it. And sometimes we need the reminder, just as in praying that prayer. We need the reminder that when you get to go into that, you died to that life, that life of sin that had control over you. You get to die to that. And you get to remember that as you came up out of that water, you have His power to do it differently. You see, don't ever, ever let the enemy, you know, get you so deceived that you think that I'm just no good. I just keep failing. I just keep doing it wrong. We make choices that are wrong, but we have to remember that the power of the Holy Spirit is greater. He will help us to walk in that newness of life. And this is such a good reminder of that today. Such a good reminder of that.